From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Audie Cornish. The New York Times revealed today that it was the target of a months-long cyber attack. The paper believes the attack came from Chinese authorities in response to an expose of cronyism among China's ruling elite. The hackers were able to breach the Times' entire system and swipe passwords for every employee. As we hear from NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik, this cyber attack illustrates China's extreme distrust of the independent media.
Times Shanghai bureau chief David Barboza's expose hit the website on October 25th, the newspaper on October 26th, and the headlines followed all over the world.
New York Times reports that Mr. Wen's family has controlled assets worth $2.7 billion.
That clip from CNN, just one of many international news outlets to cover the scandal. Lawrence Ingracia is assistant managing editor at the New York Times, and he edited Barboza's story.
Deep dive into documents, public documents, which nobody else had looked at, and which were actually pretty hard to decipher. They were, you know, very embarrassing to the Chinese government, particularly to Mr. Wen. But we felt we needed to do it because that's what we do, and that's what people here and in China need to know.
There were two almost immediate consequences. Chinese authorities blocked all access from the newspaper's new Mandarin language site from any computer inside China, a development that was widely reported and has happened to other news organizations previously. The Times says traffic to its Mandarin language site has plunged by about 80% since the authorities blocked it. But, as Larry Ingracia recounts, there was another telltale development, one not revealed until now. Its computer system had been comprehensively compromised. The paper had asked AT&T to monitor its computer system for any infiltration as the story was released.
It spiked the day that it was posted online, October 25th.
In early November, the New York Times turned to a consulting firm that handles computer security called Mandiant for help. Richard Baitlick is Mandiant's chief security officer. He says the infiltrators were clearly from China and had tricked a Times user into opening a malicious email.
They got some unauthorized software to run on that individual's computer. And that software allows someone who's sitting thousands of miles away to interact with that computer as if they were sitting at it.
The hackers ultimately penetrated the computers of 53 employees at the Times, but the focus was on two reporters, David Barboza and his predecessor in Shanghai, Jim Yardley. Baitlick says the attack was highly focused.
It appears they were looking for any documents associated with the Wen family, the resources, financials, that sort of thing.
The Times says no secret sources for the story were revealed. Ironically, the scoop largely relied on publicly available records rather than clandestine contacts. Chinese officials have denied that their government had any involvement in the hacking, but officials at the Times say this represents the first time a foreign government has sought to breach their computer systems or succeeded in doing so. Mandiant's Richard Baitlick.
To see the resources of a country like China going after a respected news organization, I see that as an abuse of power and really just an extension of the Chinese government's lack of respect for human rights and freedom of the press.
It's worth remembering that the Chinese Communist ruling party only opened up to the West and the outside world in 1979. But the journalist and author Orville Schell says the notion of the role of the media has not changed.
This was a designation made very early in the 40s by Mao. And in a word, it is that the media should be the megaphone of the party and the state. And that sort of underlying principle continues to today. And it collides rather relentlessly with the notion that we are accustomed to in the West, that the media is an independent kind of watchdog.
Schell says this tension plays out every day for foreign correspondents operating in China. He says these journalists know what stories will lead to a crackdown.
We always know what the reaction is going to be. I think it does in certain ways influence what you say, because you're calculating your ability in the future to continue doing what you do.
In this case, Lawrence Ingracia of the New York Times says it was the right call and the paper would make it again.
We don't be intimidated. We don't worry that they've shut down access to our website. We continue doing it, and we hope and fervently believe that at some point they recognize that, you know, their country, their citizens will be better off with the free flow of information.
The Chinese seem unfazed. CNN says its transmission was blocked in the country today for 6 minutes. during a 6-minute segment on the hacking of the New York Times. David Folkenflik, NPR News.